Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Tzadi Bet. We are at the top of Tzadi Bet, Amar Aleph, at V'chein Amar Rava. Okay, so back to the machlok between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. V'chein Amar Rava, lo shanu, ela bekupa melea kishuin vidiluin, hava melea chardal chayev. So Rava similarly stated that where your potter is when the basket is full of type of fruit that would be half in and half out, but you wouldn't have an entire fruit that is entirely out. However, when it's a kupa melea chardal, however, if it has mustard seeds in it, then you're going to be chayav because they're individual mustard seeds outside the domain. Al makasamer eged below eged kli lo shmei eged, right? And so we can basically we can infer from that Rav Shita is that the basket does not make it all one thing. The individual mustard seeds still have their own property. Abaye amar pater. But Abaye says, your pater, amakasavar agid kli shmei agid. So Abaye clearly holds that the basket does make it all into one thing, and so it doesn't matter that there are entire mustard seeds outside of the domain. Kam Abaye bishtati de Rava, kam Rav bishtati de Abaye. Right? So actually Abaye changed his position and started following Rava's view. He agreed to Rava's view, but then Rava changed his position and started following Abaye's original view, right? V'rami de Abaye, ade Abaye, v'rami de Rava, ade Rava. Now, if you assume that they actually did switch their positions, and Rava and Abaye both now hold the opposite, whereas Rava would say it's Pater, and Abaye would say it's Chayav, we can point out that they actually contradicted the Shitas that they pertain to hold now. The Itmar Hamotzi Per Ulush the Rabim. Abaye amar biyad chayav b'kli pater. So Abaye says, if you take it out with your hands, and most of you is still in the Rishut Yachid, but your hand that it's holding it is in the Rishut Rabim, you're gonna be chayav. But if you took it out in a kli, you're gonna be pater, even when most of the kli is, or if the kli is still partially in the Rishut Yachid, but some of the kli is in the Rishut Rabim, there you're gonna be pater, right? Because you haven't taken out the entire kli yet, and that kli is all considered one thing. So you're gonna be putter because the kli makes it one thing. But if you assume that Abaye switched his position from earlier when he said it's putter and he started following Rava that it's chayev, then it's a contradiction here. Rava amar biyad pater b'kli chayev, and Rava says that biyad is pater. If you transfer it in his hand, he's exempt. But if you transfer it in a kli, then you're going to be chayav because the kli does not make everything come together as one. Because eged kli lo shmei eged, which is like his original shita, but not like the shita that he apparently switched to. In which case, we have a contradiction here. Now Tosfot points out that seemingly an easy answer we could have given was inachinami. They taught these things before they switched their opinions, but it seems that the Amora is confident that is not the case. That these were both taught in accordance with their final positions. So the Gemara answers, Epoch, yeah, actually switch around their Shitas. That later teaching that we taught was a confused version that should actually reflect their current and updated Shitas. We have to flip around the opinions that we taught. Biyad Chayav. So wait a second. If someone takes out something in his hand when his body is still in Shuddi Yachid and his hand is Shuddi Shravim, he's Chayav. V'atanan didn't we learn the Mishnah Pasha Balabayda Diado Lechut V'natal Ha'ani Metocha O Shnatal Tocha Ve'ichnis V'sheshneim Pturin. Didn't we teach that if a person is standing in the Shuddi Yachid and he holds his hand out into the Shuddi Rabim and the poor person takes it from his hand and transfers it into the Shuddi Yachid, alternatively, if the poor person reaches his hand into the Shuddi Yachid and the Balabayit takes it from the Shuddi Yachid and puts it down, they're both Pater in those cases, right? So how that be the case, right? Because the Balabayit who sticks his hand out into the Rishut HaRabim, so his hand is over three tvachim, I jumped to the answer. His hand is in the Rishut HaRabim, even though his body is in the Rishut HaYachid. We just said that was Chayav, but clearly the Mishnah holds that that's Pater. That's exactly what the Balabayit is doing. Hatam delamala mishlosha, hacha lamata mishlosha. Yeah, in that case, the Balabayit's hand was over three tvachim. So it wasn't, so there was no hanacha on his part, right? The problem was not that it was, that he was in the Rishut HaYachid and his hand was in the Rishut HaRabim. The problem is that there was no hanacha. He never put it down, so he's not gonna be chayav. Here, it's within three tvachim, so it's like he put it down, and that's why he's gonna be chayav. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamotzi ben biyamino ben bismolo, betocheko o al ketefo, chayav. Shekein masa bnei kat. Right? So, basically, if you take something something out in an unusual manner, you're going to be pater. But what we're saying here is you take it out in your right hand or your left hand, or on your shoulder or in your chest, they're going to be chayav, because that's how Bnei Kaat would hold items of the Mishkan. Kila achar yado, but if you carry it out in an unusual manner, literally on the back of the hand, but in an unusual manner, biraglo, like from your leg, befiv, in your mouth, bimar peko, machloket, whether that's the armpit or an elbow, beozno, in his ear, besearo, in his hair, befundato, pia lamata, or with like a money pouch, however, that's turned upside down as opposed to right side up, which is a safer way of carrying it, ben pundato le chaluko, or between the money pouch and your shirt, misfat chaluko, in the hem of your shirt, bemin alo besandalo, his shoe or his sandal, pater. All these ways are pater because they're kind of odd ways of carrying them out. Shelohotzi kedera chamotzi, and you didn't take them out in a normal fashion. The Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, hamotzi masa'oi lemalama asara tzvachim chayev. Right, someone who's carrying something above 10 tzvachim off the ground is going to be chayev. Now that's a chiddush because above 10 tzvachim off the ground is a makom ptor. Right, it is not a reshut rabim deoraita. So if you were to rest something down above 10 tzvachim, you would be chayev. However, for some reason, we're saying that if you're carrying it above 10 tvachim, even though it's in the airspace of a makom ptor, because you're still carrying it, you're chayv. Now, why would that be the case? Shekein masa b'nei kahat. Because that's how the b'nei kahat would carry things above 10 tvachim off the ground. Therefore, it's not unusual, and that is a domain for the purposes of the Malacha on Shabbat, as long as you're carrying it and not resting it in a place above 10 tefachim off the ground. U'masa b'nei kahat min alon, nichtiv, ala mishkan v'ala mizbeach, saviv, makish mizbeach l'mishkan, ma mishkan eser amot, af mizbeach eser amot. Okay, so how do we know that that's how the b'nei kahat would carry things? Well, let's start with this, right? We know that they carry the mizbeach, right? Now, the mishkan was 10 amot tall, and there's a hekesh, right? A juxtaposition of the mishkan to the mizbeach. And so we use that for the purposes of establishing both of their heights. So if the Mishkan was 10 amot, then the Mizbeach was 10 amot. And we know they carry the Mizbeach. So we know they're carrying something that's 10 amot tall, right? That's principle number one that we've established. We have yet to bring the proof. U'mishkan gufe min alon, dechtiv esher madorach karash. By the way, how do we know that the Mishkan was 10 amot? Because it says that the planks were 10 amot tall. Okay, back to our proof. How does this prove that they would carry things 10 tefachim off the ground? Uchtiv v'yifros ta'oel ala mishkan v'amarav Moshe Rabbeinu parso. Right? That they would spread the tent over the mishkan, and Rav comment, this is Moshe Rabbeinu who would spread it over the mishkan. Mikan et alomed gavon shelavim esra amot. And that's how you know that the Levim who were tasked with putting the tent over the beams must have been 10 amot tall. Otherwise, you could not have one person who spreads a tent over a 10 amot tall beam, unless he is as tall as the beam is. So that's how we know the Levim were 10 amot tall. Ugemiri dechol tuna de midli bimotot tilta mila el utre tilta milatachat. Right? And we have a tradition. That anything that was carried on the shoulders was carried with 2/3 of the object above the shoulder with 1/3 of the object above the shoulder and 2/3 of the object below the shoulder. So anything was carried on the shoulder, basically 1/3 of the object was sticking up above the shoulder, 2/3 of the object was sticking below the shoulder. Ishtekach dahavamit letuva, right? And therefore, if you do the math, you're left with the objects being over 10 tefachim above the ground. Because if you have someone who's 10 amot tall, right, and one-third of the object he's carrying is above his shoulder, then 2/3 are below his shoulder, right? So 2/3 of the 10 amah object is going to be, 6 2/3 amot. So 6 2/3 amot should be hanging down below the shoulder, right? So if 6 2/3 amot are hanging down below the shoulder, then you still have 2 1/3 amot underneath the shoulder before you hit the ground. That is more than 10 tefachim. In which case, we know that they were carrying things over 10 tefachim off the ground. V'bayit ema me'aron de'amar mar aron tisha v'chaporet tefach harekan asara. Alternatively, you can learn it from the Aron. From the Aron HaKodesh. Why? Because the Aron was 10, because the Aron HaKodesh was 10 tefachim tall, and the Kaporet was an additional tefach, so then you have 10 tefachim. Ugmir dechot, tuna demidli bimatot, Tilta mila el utrei tilta mila ra. So and we have a tradition that anyone who was carrying something had to carry it with 1/3 of the object above the shoulder and 2/3 of the object below, beneath the shoulder. Ichigach de lamala masara havekai. And there we could see that that clearly the Aaron was lifted more than 10 tvachim off the ground, as we explained previously. V'ligmir Moshe. Right, but why, wait one second. Why did we need the example of the Levium carrying the Aaron? What was the problem with Moshe putting the cover over the tent, putting up the tent where we learn from the Mizbeach? Dima Moshe Shani de Amar Maar Eina Shchina Shora Ela Al Chacham Gibor VaAshir Balkoma. Right. So no, maybe Moshe was just taller than the other Levium. Right, that's a real possibility because we have a tradition that the Shechina resides upon someone who is wise, strong, wealthy, and tall. So Moshe presumably was just a particularly tall Levi, and you can't necessarily assume that everyone was that height. And therefore, it helps to have a 10 tefach tall Aaron, which most certainly the 2/3 of the Aaron, which is 6 1/2 tefachim tefachim, which were hanging down from the shoulders of the Leviim, still left more than 10 tefachim between them and the ground. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya Hamotzi Masoi B'Shabbat Al Rosho Chayev Chatat Shekein Anshei Hutzal Osin Kein. Someone who takes something out on their head on Shabbat is going to be Chayev because the people of Hutzal did that where they carry things on their head. V'Anshei Hutzal Ruba D'Alma. Why does it matter that Anshei Hutzal did that? The people of Hutzal did that. Are they most of the world that they should establish what is Chayev? Eliyid Marachid Mar. Rather, this is how it should have been taught. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya Mipnei Echad Mipnei Hutzal Shotzi Masoi Al Rosh B'Shabbat. Right? It should have been taught like this, that someone from Hutzal takes something out above his head on Shabbat, he's going to be chayev because that's what the people of his city do. V'tibat el dato etzel kol adam. But who cares that the people of the city do? Most people don't do that, so maybe the people of that city should, their intention shouldn't matter because most people don't do it that way. Ele itmar hachitmar. Rather, this is how it should have been taught. Hamotzi masoy al rosho pater. If someone takes out something on their head, they're pato. V'imtetzelomar anche Hutzal osin ken batal dato etzel kol adam. And if you want to say, but wait, the people of Hutzal do that way, so why are you chayev? Because they're not most of the world, and their intention is going to be batel compared to most of the world in order to consider it pater. Hametkaven lahotzi lefanav uva leacharav pater leacharav balefanav chayev. So if someone intended to take out something in front of him and it slipped and went behind him, or he's pater. But if you intended to take out something behind him and it slipped and went in front of him, he's going to be chayev. Right? Be'emet amru ha'isha hachogeret besinar bein milfneya o bein malachareya chayevet shekin. Right, be'emet amru, generally a potentially an indication this is a halacha l'moshe misinai. So a woman who is wearing a slip under her skirt and she hangs something from that slip and with the intention that it's going to be in front of her and it slips behind her, she's going to be chayev because generally that slip shifts around from front to back, so it's a normal way, it's a normal course of events. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af mikable p'takin. Right, so even letter carriers, the same would happen to them, that it's constantly bouncing from back to front, in which case if they put it out and put it in front of them and bounce behind them, they're going to be chayev. My shna lefanav u'balacharav depator deloit avid machshavato la'acharav balafanav nami halo it avid machshavato. So the Gemara points out in the Mishnah, it seems strange that if you put it in front of you and it ends up behind you, you're pater because what you wanted to do didn't end up happening. But if you put it behind you, ends up in front of you, also what you wanted to do doesn't end up happening, and yet you're chayev. Amar Belazar tavra mashashana zo lo shana zo. Says yeah, that's certainly difficult. You have a contradiction in the Mishnah. And it's because the person who taught the first part of the Mishnah is not the person who taught the second part of the Mishnah. Different Tanaim, they have different opinions. Amarava umay kushya dilma lefanav ubalo lacharav hainu tami depatur didn't kaven l'shmira meulav al tabiyado shmira pechuta lacharav ubalo lefanav hainu tami dechayev didn't kaven l'shmira pechuta. So Rabbi says, no, meaning you don't have to assume that those are different people. It's not necessarily a contradiction. It makes sense that someone who intended to put it before him and it ends up after it is pater, but someone who intended to put it after and ends up before him is going to be chayev. Why? Because it's a matter of the shmira. It's better. It is better for you to carry out something in front of you because you can guard it better. So if you intended to do a certain level of guarding around your object and it ends up behind you, so it's less guarded, then it is is an then the outcome is undesirable. You don't benefit from it. You would, but if you intended to do it behind you and you end up guarding it in a better way because it comes out before you, then the outcome is desirable, and that's why you're going to be chayev. You don't have to say it's a different sheet in the Mishnah. Why do we jump to conclusion to say that people? Why do we jump to a conclusion and suggest that these are two different Tanaim arguing? Elamai kushya. Rather, yeah. That's not the contradiction. The contradiction is not that one is chayev and one is potter. This is the contradiction. Diyuka de matniti in kashya, because you can make an inference from the Mishnah that's difficult. That seems to be contradictory. Mitkaven lo tzilafan of bala achra ubala achrav potter hala achrav bala achrav chayev. When the fact that we said that someone who takes something out in front of him and it falls behind him is putter, the inference there is that if he takes it out behind him and it stays behind him, you would be chayav, right? Now, that's a very interesting assumption, meaning that's not what you would generally assume, right? You would generally assume that that it's a chiddush, but obviously you would be a chayav if exactly what you intended to happen, and we just have to suggest that that maybe taking it out behind you because it's not very good shmirah is unusual, and that's why it would be putter, right? Even though it's exactly what you intended to happen, maybe that's why it would be putter, is because it's unusual. But ema seifa. However, when you look at the end of the Mishnah, that seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. La'achrav ubalo lefanav hu dechayav, ha'la'achrav ubalo la'achrav putter. From the fact that we said that if it starts behind you and it comes in front of you, you're chayav. But you can learn from there that if it starts behind you and it ends behind you, it's going to be putter. Amar Elazar, Tavra Mashanazo Lo Shanazo, right? So basically the first part of the Mishnah, if it wasn't clear, the first part of the Mishnah seems to indicate that from the fact that you intended, the fact that it says that if you intended to take it out in front of you and it ended up behind you, you're putter. So if you intended it out, take it out behind you and it ended behind you, then you're going to be chayev. But the second part of the Mishnah says that if you intended to take it out behind you and it comes in front of you, you're chayev, and that would imply that you intended to take it out behind you and it stays behind you, you're going to be putter. So which one is it? If it stays behind you, if you intend to take it out behind you and it stays behind you, are you chayev or are you putter? It seems to be that the logical inferences from both parts of the Mishnah are telling you different things, and that's what Rabbi Elazar was saying is a contradiction in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya, dima lomi baye kamar. That's not a difficulty, because as we said, that's not necessarily a logical inference. Maybe you're saying lomi baya, meaning maybe you're saying this and all the more so that. Lomi baya la'acharav u'bala la'acharav dechayev didi avid ma'ech shavato. El afil la'acharav u'bala lefanav itztricha lei. So, meaning when it taught you that if you put it behind you and it stayed behind you, obviously you're chayev there. Exactly what you wanted to happen, right? What they wanted to teach you is that even if it was behind you and it came in front of you, still you're going to be chayev. Because you may have thought, well, it's not what you intended to do, so you're not going to be chayev. But what we learn from there is that if you intended for a lower version, a lower form of shmirah of guarding the object, and you ended up with a higher form of guarding the object, even though it wasn't your intention, you are going to be chayev. So we just wanted to teach you the bigger chiddush. That is not to say that if it started behind you and ended up behind you, that you're going to be putter. We just taught the bigger chiddush, which is if it started behind you, we just taught what we thought needed to be the bigger chiddush, right? That even if it started behind you, ended up in front of you, and what you intended did not end up happening, still you're going to be chayev. But all the more so, if it started behind you and ended up behind you, you're going to be chayev. The mission did not mean to imply that if it started behind you and ended behind you, that you're going to be putter. So that should not have been inferred from our Mishnah. Ularacharav, uba lo leacharav, tanaihi. But, can we suggest that actually this case of where the object is behind you and stays behind you is not so pashut? It may be a machloket tanaim whether or not that's chayiv. The time you learned that a bright time motzi meot befundato upielamala, chayiv pielamata, Rebbe Yehuda Mechayiv Chachamim Potrin. Right? So, cause we learned in a Baraita that someone who takes out, money in a money belt, and the mouth is facing upward, meaning the opening is facing upward. That's a normal way of taking it out. You're going to be chayev. However, the mouth is pointing downward. It's a risky way of carrying money. Then Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev, and the Chachamim say you're pater. Amar lehen Rabbi Yehuda, I atem modim bila acharav uvalu la acharav shehu chayev. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, would you, however, not agree to me that if it started from behind you and it remained behind you, that you're going to be chayav. Va'amrulo ve'iata mode kila achar yado ve'raglo shu pater. And then they responded to him, but don't you agree that if you take it out in an unnormal way, you're going to be pater? So basically, Rabbi Yehuda is like, well, why are you saying? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, why are you saying pater here? Wouldn't you agree to my case that if you carried it out behind you, even though it's not a very good form of shmirah, you're still going to be chayav because that's what you intended to do. Here too, you should be chayav. And the chachamim are like, well, don't you agree to me that if you take out something in an abnormal way, that you're going to be pater? So here too, it's abnormal, and therefore it should be pater. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani amarti davar echad, vehen amru davar echad. Ani lo matzati tshuva ledivrayhem, vehem lo matzu tshuva ledivarai. Says, I said one thing, they said another. I, to be honest, I couldn't answer the proof they brought against me, but also they couldn't answer the proof that I brought against them. Midikamar lehu iatem modim, lav miklal de patri rabbanan. Now, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, wouldn't you agree to me that if you take something out behind you, if you intend to take something out behind you and it stays behind you, wouldn't you agree to me in such a case that you'd be chayav? From the fact that he's trying to convince the Rabbanan, it seems like they don't agree. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that you take something out from behind you is chayav, and the Rabbanan holds he takes something out from behind you is pater, and Rabbi Yehuda is trying to convince them otherwise. Machloket tanayim, as to whether or not you take something out from behind you is chayav or pater. Now it has to be pointed out that is a weird inference, because in general, when you say iatam modeh, what you're trying to do is take the thing that you know that they agree to and then say, well, the thing that you're arguing with me on is the same thing, and so why are you arguing with me, right? But that is based on the foundation that the thing you're bringing up, they're modeh, they admit to you, they agree to you, so you have a machloket. And so what you want to say is, now, we both agree about the following case, which is similar to the machloket, we both agree on that, so why would you not assume that it's the same din? But here the Gemara is trying to infer from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says iata mode, that the Rabbanan argue on that case. That is not the normal mahalach of the Gemara to assume that way. All right, but the Rashba addressed that. I just want to, we don't have time to get into it, but I want to address that the Rishonim do address that point. They do realize that is a strange inference of the Gemara. Ulatameh de ka'amri le iata mode miklal de mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. But ultimately we reject that assumption anyway, because what we say is, okay, well, if you want to say that when Rabbi Yehuda says that, do you not agree with me by taking something out behind you, that means that the Rabbanan actually argue with him about taking something out behind you. Well, then you have a problem, because the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, do you not agree to us about taking something out in an abnormal way? Miklal de mechayev Rabbi Yehuda, and that would imply that the Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Rabbanan, which means that he says if you take something out in an abnormal way, you should be chayav. Everyone agrees you take something out in an abnormal way, it's going to be pater. And if everyone agrees that he takes something out in an abnormal way, it's going to be pater, that means even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to take something out in an abnormal way, it's going to be pater. So when the Rabbanan said, well, do you not agree to us that when you take something out in an abnormal way, you're going to be pater? Rabbi Yehuda agrees that with them on that point, you take something out in an abnormal way, that you are pater. So why do you assume that when Rabbi Yehuda says to the Rabbanan, well, do you not agree with me that you take something out from behind you, you're going to be chayav? Why do we assume that means that they actually argue with him? Because when the Rabbanan say it to Rabbi Yehuda, we know that he agrees with them on that point. Rather, you must conclude as follows. Everyone agrees that if you plan to take something out from behind you and it ends up behind you, you are chayav. You're chayav in that case. Nobody thinks that you are pater. You can't infer that from the Mishnah. That's a false inference. Rather, the Mishnah was just trying to teach you the bigger chiddush, but this one was obvious. Furthermore, la'achar yadav ragol divrakol pater. Everyone agrees to take something out in an abnormal way, you're going to be pater. Everyone agrees to that. Ki pligi kisa, what is the machloki between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Or between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Bepundato pia lemata marmidami le'la'achrav ubalel'achrav marmidami le'la'achar yadav raglo. Right, when it comes to a money pouch which is faced down, that is where the machloket is. Okay, why is there machloket on that? Because Rabbi Yehuda says that holding the money pouch upside down is an inferior form of guarding this object, and therefore it is similar to taking out something from behind you, which is an inferior form, and it's still chayev, so taking out the money pouch is still chayev. Where the Rabbanan say, no, it is actually more similar to the case of when you take something out in an abnormal way, because this is an abnormal way of taking it out. So everyone agrees that that taking it out from behind you is chayev. Everyone agrees taking it out in an abnormal way is going to be pater. The question is, when you carry the pouch upside down, is that more similar to taking it out from behind you because it's not properly guarded? Or is that more similar to taking it out in an abnormal way, which is going to be pater? That is the machloket. Rabbi Yehuda says it's more similar to behind you, and therefore it's chayev. Rabbanan say it's more similar to an abnormal way, and therefore it's pater. All right, further in the Mishnah, the emet amru ha'isha, what we said about the woman, taking out something on the slip under her skirt, v'tana kol be'emet halacha hi, right? And we learned in a Mishnah that whenever it says be'emet, that is how we pass on the halacha. There is some who say that's an indication that's halacha l'shmei Sinai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af mekal be'petakin. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, also the people who the letter carriers, tana shekin lav larai malchut osin kein, because as we know, the letter carriers or the scribes of the kingdom do just that, where they carry things in a way that they can bounce from in front of them to behind them. It is a normal way of taking things out, and therefore it is going to be chayev.